This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good Friday morning, a feel-good football Friday, a feel-good Yankees Friday as they move on, beating the Kansas City Royals in the ALDS. Gerrit Cole showed up, earned that contract. Earn that title of being ace. Aaron Judge starting to really come out of it now. No home runs, but he blasted that ball into the gap between left and center. Earned a couple of walks up there as well. So he is getting closer. And this was just a stepping stone. It was almost like a warm-up series for the New York Yankees. No disrespect to the Royals, but sort of what it was. A little bit of a warm-up series for the Yankees. And now they await the winner of the Guardians and Tigers. And here we are. Both the Mets and the Yankees are awaiting their opponents in their respective league championship series. And we are closer to a Subway Series than we have ever been.
Don't say it.
Since.
Do not say it.
No, this is just a fact. We're closer to it.
Just don't say it.
Why? I said that the Mets weren't going to go back to Philadelphia, and they didn't. I said I expect them to win. They did. All I'm stating is a fact here. We are closer to a Subway Series as we sit here today than we have been in 24 years. The last time both these teams were in the ALCS and NLCS was 2000, and they both ended up in the World Series. That's a fact. That's not touching money. That's just a fact. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning, G. I'm great. It is Feel Good Football Friday, and we got two baseball teams moving on to their respective championship series, and last night was a Gerrit Cole night. It was that was the guy that you paid all that money for. That was the performance that you needed. Basically shut them down. Yankee scratch, you know, and claw for three runs. Wasn't really much to speak of. It was kind of a boring game. But
a boring series.
I mean, especially compared to what the Mets were going through. But I will say that, he came up big when you needed him to come up big. And then, of course, this Yankee bullpen, who, I don't know, people have been screaming and yelling about it, I feel like, since the middle of June.
Not anymore.
I know, but it did exactly what it had been doing towards the end of the season. And that basically is lockdown central. And, you're talking about a team that, in my eyes, I know that they're not, moving runners along and getting the key bases and crap like that, and everybody wants home runs. But, they do have the easiest path to the World Series. I don't care what anybody says. They are built to win now. All of this stuff, getting rid of, Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman in the middle of August, looks asinine now, simply because this team may have a flaw or two. Every team has a flaw or two. But they are right where they're supposed to be, where they're expected to be, and they're going to the ALCS, and there are going to be expectations that they go to the World Series. There's going to be expectations that they win the World Series. So they have lived up. It may not be the most pretty situation, and maybe because certain guys aren't carrying their weight at the moment, but still, they're right exactly where they should be.
Yeah, and this is the best part about it. They didn't play their best baseball, and they won in four games, and they're moving on, and you're starting to see Aaron Judge make strides to get out of this horrific postseason malaise that he's been in. So they're rounding into shape at the best time.
So, yeah, I mean, and the one of my favorite phrases ever is expectation is the thief of joy. And I think that you're seeing that with the New York Yankees and the opposite with the New York Mets. I mean, having no expectations really is a catalyst for all the joy we're having and also the unbelievable finishes to these games and how dramatic they have been. But this was a take care of business type of series. It was that's why we were joking around about the tipping point. If they had somehow lost this series, then the organization was going to have to go in a different direction, and they did not.
So we are now past the tipping point.
I believe so, yes. I mean, now, if they end up getting swept by either the Tigers or the Guardians, then I think we're back at a tipping point.
Okay.
But I don't think that that's going to happen.
All right, so Al, you can remove the tipping point.
We might put it back on, though.
A reference for or in regards to the Yankees.
No.
However, it's still there for the Jets.
Don't remove it yet.
No.
I said if they get, there's still a tipping point possibility for the Yankees.
There could be a new tipping point. The old tipping point is over with now.
Okay, all right.
What I'm saying is that the tipping point that you felt as the Yankees, you know, were going to Kansas City 1-1,
mm-hmm.
that was the tipping point spot. Well,
yes.
That tipping point spot has now been handled.
It has been.
So we remove that part of the tipping point.
It's sort of like a press. So we're closing that press and we're opening up a new one. Sort of like that?
It kind of like that, but we're not really opening a new one just yet because, I you know, the Yankees are where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have to see how this next series goes with them.
Yeah.
Like you said, if they lose this next series, we could then be at another tipping point.
Yeah. Yeah, we could be.
So, but what we're doing is with Yankee fans this morning, we're celebrating the fact that they are where they're supposed to be, even though it probably isn't like the way the Yankee fan wants it.
Well, I think that last night changed it a little bit because this was a game that you needed to see Gerrit Cole be great. You needed to see Aaron Judge do something. You got both of those things. So you wanted to it got a little dicey, obviously, with that ball that goes to the warning track. And Juan Soto has got his back up against the wall. But I mean, it was relatively, other than that sort of like moment for 2 seconds. No, it was a relatively easy game.
Hey, go about your business.
The Yankees taking care of business. And I, at least from, you know, my perspective with the friends that are Yankee fans, it seemed like they were starting to wake up a little bit. Like last night was a little bit of a smelling salt for them. They're not totally there yet. They're not totally like Yankee, like I'm going to get my pinstripe jersey on with no undershirt and put my chain out and then give middle fingers to every Met fan that I know. They're not quite there yet. But they're starting to get a little bit of that smelling salt, and they should because, I mean, realistically, I'm sorry, but I'm going to feel just like you are about the ALCS, just like I felt about the ALDS, which is they got to win. If it's the Tigers or the Guardians, yeah. They got to win.
ALDS, ALCS, I got it.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I know, but like no longer a tipping point at this point.
Not right now, but
no, there's a level of expectation. They have lived up to it. It hasn't been pretty all year long. I think they have their bullpen right where they want them now. They have their starting pitching right where they want them now. Maybe Judge's last night. Maybe he's starting to come around now all of a sudden. Stanton got another RBI. I think that there are a lot of things to really, really feel good about your team with, even though, like I said, every team has a flaw somewhere.
Yeah, of course.
You want to say it's the bottom of your lineup. You want to say it's the guy.
Well,
it's Wells behind Judge. Whatever you think your team's flaws are, you know, we all know what our team's flaws are. Just enjoy the run. Enjoy where they are because nothing is going to be perfect. And anything worth anything means you got to work hard to go get it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's not meant to be easy. There's only been a few teams.
I mean, can it get any easier for the Yankees, though, honestly?
This year, no. As far as the opponents, no. I mean, it was sort of easy for the 1998 Yankees, one of the best teams we've ever seen. But generally, it's not easy in the baseball postseason. I think with the Yankees, they can't have two things working concurrently, which is not good starting pitching from guys like Schmidt, Rodon and Heal, let's say, and the offense not stepping up and having some of those, you know, disappearing games. You can't have those two things working at the same time because then that's how you kill the Yankees, is they throw out a a C-plus, B-minus pitcher who gives up four runs, and then the offense goes quiet. That's how the Yankees lose in the postseason. You can compensate for the lack of dominant starting pitching with a dominant offense, and you can also, maybe if the offense goes quiet, you get some great starts out of guys like Rodon, hopefully, you know, Schmidt and the others, outside of Gerrit Cole. But that, if the Yankees are going to lose, that's going to be the way they're going to lose. And if they win the World Series, then one of those things has to pick up the other.
Yeah, and that you could say the same thing about every team.
It's the same thing.
I know it's not the Yankees.
Not necessarily, but, though, because there's certain guys, like there's... Because after Cole, there's nobody you feel great about.
Yeah, well, this is where the offense has got to step up.
All right,
and this is where the bullpen has got to step in.
But not every team is that way.
Yeah, but this team is.
Right, but you just said every team's that way. So I'm saying that
this is their flaw.
Yeah, and so... So
every team has a flaw.
Every team certainly has a flaw.
I think every Met fan sits on the edge of their couch. They're standing when Edwin Diaz comes in the game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we got some of this reaction from the Jets firing Robert Saleh yesterday. They named defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich their interim head coach. As you can imagine, this made the rounds on very popular shows. Maybe the most popular one, if you have heard of this, maybe not, you could download it. It's called the Postgame Podcast with Al and Jerry. As we were doing our thing, and Eddie Scazzeri got into Al's ear.
And Eddie said that at 10:08, the Jets fired Rob Saleh.
Holy crap.
That's wild.
Okay. How about that?
Isn't that that's shocking to me?
Especially they let him talk to the media yesterday.
Yeah.
God damn. All right, so that's one. Then there's simultaneously.
Good job, guys.
While we were really reacting.
Broke that down.
Real time.
Yeah, real time.
In real time, BT and Sal reacting to the news.
Wow. All right, first
Holy
of all,
crap.
That is stunning.
I got goosebumps, man. Wow.
Yeah, wow. Then there's Joe B. with Jake Asman on his podcast as this was happening.
Wow! Are you serious?
I swear to you.
Mm-hmm. A lot of wows, if you haven't noticed. Then there's ESPN. You had First Take as they broke in.
Breaking news into First Take that Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, has been fired. I'll get you more details as they come in.
And that was Shannon Sharp with the what there at the end. And then after Stephen A. Smith gave his opinion on what's going on, Shannon... goes to one guy that's responsible for this.
Robert's not letting lose the team. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers undercut this man by not coming to mandatory minicamp. And we heard the mumbles. We heard people outside saying how that looked because mandatory. Well, I think they just stick a gate. They stick and they put that word mandatory. Mandatory has always meant the same thing, Fox. You know what mandatory means. They have one of those where you are required. The others are voluntary. We know what volunteer means. We know what mandatory means.
And he has continued this assault on Rogers, which is funny.
Now, excuse me while I have sex with this woman on YouTube.
That did not happen.
Oh, sorry.
He did finish his thought.
The moment that Aaron Rodgers did that, Robert Saleh had no control because the guys look at him. This guy's supposed to be our leader. This is the guy that we're supposed to count on.
No, not anymore. He was gone after five games this year and three seasons. And so with all that, it's time now for Whose Voice Is That? I'm going to play you a clip. You're going to hear the clip and you're going to tell me if you think you know whose voice that might be. I'm going to give you, it's a word, it's a quick word. You're going to tell me whose voice this is. Are you ready? Whose voice is that?
Serious.
Now that could be the guy in the smoking commercial. It could be. It's very possible. It could be
some actor from a thrilling movie.
It's Brandon Tierney.
Serious?
I mean, it sounds like Tierney.
It is Brandon Tierney. That's a cool voice, though, is it not?
Serious. Yeah. What? Are you serious?
Adam Schefter just put it out now.
I mean, step off the ledge for a second. You know?
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. He's got a career in voiceover work if you would like one.
Yeah, when he gets down deep like that, man, all that testosterone. Serious?
Serious.
I love that voice.
This keeps getting better every single game as they are now one series away from the World Series. They celebrate at Citi Field, and I mean, apologies all around. I don't know how many times I got to say it. I'm sorry to the Mets. I'm sorry to Steve Cohen. I'm sorry to Francisco Lindor. I'm sorry to Brandon Nimmo. I'm sorry to the Mets that were in John Ledecky's box in the Islanders at the Islanders playoff game when they were like 3 or 4 games under 500. I didn't even go up and talk to him because I was disgusted with him. I'm sorry to those guys. I think Sean Manaea was one of them. Nimmo was there. I'm sorry to everybody because the joy you are providing us right now is unmatched. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I am jacked up. I am happy. I'm happy for a lot of reasons. I'll start with the Mets. I got to say that a couple guys really stood out. Now, Jose Quintana did a great job yesterday, got him through 5, and then David Peterson, again, shows up big. I mean, he had an awesome year as a starting pitcher for the New York Mets. And now has become a big part of the bullpen, especially in high leverage situations. He was great. There was a couple moments last night in this game that I don't necessarily know that a lot of people are talking about, but it just kind of signified what the game was. Francisco Alvarez made 2 unbelievable picks as a catcher with 50-foot pitches. And both of those, you know, he caught and nobody was able to move up the base path and nothing like that. The next inning, Real Muto was unable to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Hoffman threw 2 wild pitches.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
I mean, so Jeff Hoffman right now is persona non grata in Philadelphia because of his performance in this particular series. But what can you say about Francisco Lindor? You know, and when he hit the ball last night, and, you know, you got Brzezinski and you got Wainwright in there, and they talk about how, you know, there was no bat flip, there was no nothing. It was almost like he expected to do it, and it was an amazing moment, and an absolute amazing moment. And you could feel like the tension, and I really thought that FS1 did a great job capturing the tension on the fans' faces in the stadium as this moment is about to unfold. And then as Francisco launches this ball into right field, it was just an amazing, amazing feeling. I mean, we all had it together. For those people that are at the stadium, and probably the stadium probably was rocking. And it's one of those moments that you're going to remember for a long, long, long time, just like the Pete Alonso home run, just like the Francisco Lindor home run in Atlanta. I mean, this team just keeps giving you unbelievable moments to remember. And whether it be Daniel Murphy, who did this back in 2015, or what Francisco Lindor is doing right now, it's just remarkable. It is absolutely remarkable. And we haven't had a chance to really have something like this. How many times have we said, why can't it be our team? Why can't our team just surprise the hell out of everybody and do something spectacular? And between Lindor, between the timely hitting, except for early in this game, because you felt like, you know, there were so many opportunities that they missed. And then on top of that, the bullpen doing what it has done, it's been a remarkable run, and you don't want it to end. And you don't know who we're going to play yet, simply because the Dodgers, with that bullpen game we were talking about yesterday, ended up demolishing the Padres last night.
Yeah, they did. So that game 5 will be on Friday. And Steve Cohen said something in the clubhouse when he was celebrating where he said, I want to change the negative perception of the Mets fan, and this team is helping to do that. And I couldn't agree more, because during this game, you know, they load the bases first and second inning, they don't score. But they load the bases again, and Francisco Alvarez, you know, strikes out, or actually, no, he had that weak ground ball to short, and they cut him off.
Force out at home, yep.
Yeah, force out at home. So, Francisco Lindor comes up, and I'm just expecting something special to happen. Never. I mean, as early as last week, as recent as last week, I'm thinking Pete Alonso is grounding into a double play and the season is over and he hits that home run. And then now, after what I've seen since then, I'm like, he's going to do something. I mean, he's at least going to tie the game. I can guarantee you that. He's at least going to tie the game with a sac fly. Maybe he gets two runs in with a base hit. Maybe he hits a gapper. It'd be great if he hit a grand slam. But he's going to do something because that's who they are. And he hits that grand slam, and it was just perfect. And the fact that he's rounding the bases, and he did the same thing with that home run down in Atlanta, and he's rounding the bases like he expected to do it. I mean, it's just, I can't get over it. I cannot. Every game gets crazier. And on top of it, it's the Philadelphia Phillies, who I have spent a majority of my lifetime just hating, being turned off by their fans. They suck, their team, everything. The fact that 2007, it was them that came back. Cole Hamels with the choke job. He actually said that on Joe and Evan when I was producing it, with the Mets choked. And I was just, I was so angry that I've had the anger towards that organization. And to face them for the first time ever in the playoffs and just swat them away. And I told you on Monday from your golf tournament, I said, I don't think they're going back to Philadelphia. And here we are. There's one team going back to Philadelphia, and it's the Phillies to clean out their lockers.
Good. You Spike! You Spike!
Nathaniel Hackett has to be the stone worst coach that's employed in the NFL right now, because he couldn't make it through a season as a head coach. And now, after five games with Aaron Rodgers in the Jets uniform, he has been demoted. So how does he go from running an offense that is successful enough for back-to-back years for Aaron Rodgers to win an MVP to now where he gets five games as the offensive coordinator with Aaron Rodgers and then gets demoted? Is it because he hasn't changed with the league?
Do you see who carries the play sheet in Green Bay?
LaFleur.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur does. Yeah. So, you know, I think sometimes these coaches, get a break. They have a title, but their title, while it is important in meeting rooms and to install the offense, on game day, a guy like Matt LaFleur is going to call the plays, just like Mike McCarthy is going to call the plays.
And that was a fact back in 20.
I believe that was the fact.
20 and 21, Matt LaFleur was calling the plays.
Right. They got rid of McCarthy because they needed a new, fresh voice in the building to be able to connect with Aaron Rodgers. You know, and Matt LaFleur is a terrific coach. He is a terrific coach. And, yeah. I think Todd Downing was with him down in Tennessee, I believe.
Okay.
So, they all know what's going on. They all know each other behind the scenes, and they probably like Nathaniel and think he's a great guy and he's the perfect guy to be a position coach, maybe because he's good friends with Aaron. But there has to be accountability, and accountability comes in the meeting rooms, on the practice field.
Yeah.
And you also have to have a answer for things that you are not responding to as an offense. So, yeah, I agree with you in regards to Nathaniel Hackett. I'm just telling you why I think they're doing this is because what they have seen since Nathaniel's been there the last 2 years.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me. But the one thing that I'm still confused about is there is no better person to hold somebody accountable than the veteran player who's got everybody's respect. So he's in those rooms too, and he's also out on the field with them. So why is it that Aaron Rodgers is getting a pass with all of this stuff so far when he could be doing more things with the offense and input and things that he's seeing out there? I mean, everybody listens to what he has to say all the time. And then also in these meeting rooms. I mean, you're telling me that it takes Nathaniel Hackett to hold these guys accountable?
I mean, at the end of the day, Rob Saleh saw enough mistakes being made. Saw enough free blitzers coming, not having answers for fire zones.
Let's go to Jeff in Marlboro. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great night for New York sports last night between the Mets, the Yankees, the Rangers opening their season, kicking Penguin butt. Even the Dodgers taking that game to game 5. I hope that game 5 goes 19 innings for the Mets' sake. I want to call out to my nephew, Alex, who spoke to you a couple of days ago about getting escorted out of his seats in Philadelphia and getting water thrown on him. I hope he's enjoying his best revenge this morning. And as far as Francisco Lindor, if you listen to this guy speak, I mean, his teammates have got to love him. He is all about his teammates. He never wants to talk about himself. He talks about the fans, the family, the front office. They've got to pin a C on this guy's chest next year. I mean, he's got to be the perfect teammate. And as far as his performance, I mean, if not for Otani, this guy's got to be the MVP this year. And he didn't even make the All-Star team, which is amazing.
Yeah, I know. He's made himself a Mets Hall of Famer this season. That's what he's done this season and this postseason. And you hope it continues for the next number of years. But
and it's not just the home runs either. It's starting an inning by getting on base.
Exactly. And he did have that leadoff double. It didn't lead to anything last night. But his defense has been impeccable. The fact that he is that calming influence on the field when things are not going right, goes up to the pitcher on the mound. He's everything. And he's everything that we all wanted him to be when that trade was made. And it took a few years.
Got the right manager now.
And now he is the perfect player for this organization at this point in time. You could not ask for a more perfect player for this team at this time than Francisco Lindor. And I opened up this morning apologizing to every negative thing I had said about him and worried about his contract and all of those things. I mean, every dollar this run has been earned.
It's the Morning Show. Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo. Friday football picks are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN. I'm still in first place, but you guys are gaining after I had a losing week, and all of us now under 500 together again. I had climbed back to 10-10, but now I'm under 500. But Boomer is two games behind me. I am 12-13 on the season. Boomer 10-15 on the season. Jerry 9-16 on the season. So this is it's an embarrassing thing for us. It's an exercise in futility each week.
It wouldn't be embarrassing if we had boobs.
That's right. We just... Oh, I do, actually. His just own.
Just not ones people want to see.
So that's a problem. All right. So, Jerry, here we go with week six.
All right. So we got five games. Ironically enough, four of the five we picked, we have home underdogs, but that's not the first game. The first game... the Ravens are hosting the Commanders. The Ravens are -6.5.
I love the 6.5 points here. I love what the Washington Commanders have been doing, and I know the Ravens' defense hasn't been great. They gave up a ton of points last week at Cincinnati. Now, they may confuse Jaden Daniels in this game. Can Jaden Daniels keep it up? I think he will. I think the Ravens will win the game, but I think Jaden Daniels will keep it within a touchdown. I'll take the 6.5 points and the Commanders.
Yeah, same here. Too many points. I've watched so much of this team for fantasy purposes, and I've fallen in love with Jaden Daniels, and this team is flying right now. They got a ton of confidence. If that Ravens defense didn't get tore up again against the Bengals, even though it won the game, I maybe might have a different opinion here, but it's too many points, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Commanders went in there and beat them, and that was a huge storyline this week. So give me the Commanders as well.
I know Washington wanted Arizona big, and if this game was in Washington, I would probably take them. But I think, since I like the Ravens to win, I'm not going to worry about the line. I'm going to take the Ravens minus the 6.5. Game number two. We've got the Denver Broncos at home against the L.A. Chargers. Denver at home, +3.
Denver's defense, man, creating turnovers, scoring touchdowns, supporting a young quarterback. The young quarterback's getting a little bit better each and every week. They don't score a lot of points. I think this is a low-scoring game. Remember, the Chargers, last time we saw them, Justin Herbert actually got hurt. He hurt his ankle. He had a lower ankle sprain. The Chargers are, you know, solid team. This will be a tight game between these two. I'm going to lay the 3 points, and I'm going to take the Denver Broncos.
You're getting three with the
Broncos. I mean, I'm getting 3 points. That's correct. The home dog.
Yep.
Yes, I'm getting
Right. Man. I've underrated the Broncos every single week, and it's burned me, but I'm going to do it again. I'm just, I don't... don't believe in that team. I think that their offense at times could be the worst in football. And I thought with the way that this defense is playing, this line would look different. So this is one of those fishy things for me. So I'm going to go with the Chargers. I'm taking the Chargers.
I was very impressed by the Denver Broncos defense, the way they kicked the crap out of Aaron Rodgers 2 weeks ago. I think this game's close. I think it's low scoring. I take Denver plus three. Game three, Lions, Cowboys, Dallas plus three at AT&T Stadium, where they are 0-2 this year.
I have the Lions as one of my top three teams in the NFC. They bring the heat with Aiden Hutchinson. He's all over the opposing quarterback. I think that's a matchup that's in the favor of the Lions. And I also think their offense can put it up, put points up against anybody, especially this Dallas defense. I think this game is an over game. I think both of these teams are going to score a lot of points. I'm going to take the favorite Detroit Lions.
Breakout spot for the Cowboys.
Wow.
Here it is. We've been waiting for it. I think this is the game that they do it. I'm still worried about their defense, but I think this is going to be the best offensive game that they've had up until this point. I like an angry Dak Prescott that I heard in the press conference you were playing earlier. So I do have an inherent built-in bias against the Detroit Lions, but I am taking the Dallas Cowboys in this one.
Cowboys haven't lost to the Lions since 2013. Mm. Not to mention the fact they're tough. I mean, Jalen Tolbert won a game with sprained nuts.
He did.
On Sunday night. So I will take the Cowboys plus the three at home.
Of course you will.
I don't do that often. All right, here we go. Local teams. The Bengals and Giants Sunday night. The Giants plus 3.5 at home.
You know, I just like think the Bengals can score on anybody, and I think they will score a lot of points in this game. This is another over game for me. I'm going to lay the points, and I will take the favored Bengals over the Giants.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bengals, too, and I don't want to disrespect the Giants because they have been more impressive than I expect them to be, and their offense is rounding into shape and even put on two impressive performances. Well, an impressive performance without Malik Nabers, and he was out of that other game. So, I mean, I just don't think they're in, even though the Bengals are 1-4, I just don't see the Giants in that class. So give me the Bengals on Sunday night. And I also believe, too, that there's something to be said. Even though they're 1-4 and they've had some of these games where, like, we got to win this week. They get to 1-5. That's really, really bad. So this is desperation time, and you can't manufacture desperation, Boomer. I don't know if you've heard that before. Give me the Bengals.
Yeah, I take the Giants a lot, but not this week, not in this game. I am taking the Bengals minus the 3.5. They can put up a lot of points. I don't know if the Giants can run with them. And then the final game Monday night, the Bills at the Jets. The Jets plus 2.5.
Well, you know, with this uptick, I think Jeff Ulbrich will bring out the best in the Jets. I think he'll put an emotional team on the field on Monday night. I think that they realize that they have been embarrassed the last 2 weeks against the Broncos and the Vikings. And by the way, they could have won both of those games at any point in the fourth quarter. Yep. Hard for me to believe. I understand why they're underdogs, just simply because of the great Josh Allen. I don't know what Josh Allen's situation is. He's going to play. I'm going to take the Jets, and I think I would go under in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets. The Bills have looked terrible, and I know that's a week-to-week league, but they're just, like, really confused on offense. And there's one thing that the Jet defense does is play really well and keep the team in the game when the offense is doing nothing. And if I expect the offense to be better this week, like many people do with the Jets, then I don't know how you don't pick the Jets with the way that Buffalo's rolling in here. So, yeah, I'm taking the Jets as well.
I hate to be in agreement with you both, but I will take the Jets also.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Boomer and Geo Friday Football Picks brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN.
The offense the last 2 weeks looks completely out of sync. And maybe yesterday towards the fourth quarter when they were trying to come back and amount that comeback, they threw like 18 passes in a row. And I felt like finally they started to, you know, move and they were moving the ball down the field. And, you know, it wasn't pretty, but at least they got it going. So maybe that will lead to something. And again, I just keep saying, the year that I went to Arizona, I played the first three games and got benched two out of the three games at halftime. And that's when I went to the coach and said, you got to stop benching me. You either have to play me
and believe in me and support me, or you have to bench me and play the other guy and let him play. And lo and behold, he benched me and played the other guy. And then all of a sudden, the team started to play well. And maybe because the other guy, Kent Graham in this case, had a chance to watch on the sideline, saw what wasn't happening, and then could change some things when he went out there on the field and made things started to happen. But I'm not saying
you're not benching Aaron Rodgers.
No, you're not going to do that with Aaron Rodgers. But what I'm saying, when I finally got back into the lineup, that's when we started to take off as an offense, because now everybody understood exactly what Jim Fassel was doing as our offensive coordinator. So it doesn't matter if you're 32 like or 34 like I was, or you're 30 or 40 like Aaron is, you still have to learn your players and they have to learn you. Even if they have the great names like Mike Williams, it's a great player. He's had a great career.
Yeah, but
those
all right,
two guys have never been on the field together last couple weeks.
But let me I'll play devil's advocate here. So tell me why, and I know he didn't play well yesterday, but tell me why Sam Darnold can step in and be able to have the success he has when he wasn't playing with any of those guys.
Yeah, but his success, I think, has been due in large part to a coach who's got a really good understanding. Sam is also playing with some great players.
Well, Jets are supposed to have all these talented players on offense, too, right?
Yeah, but they don't have the offensive design that Kevin O'Connell has.
So the answer to the question, the coaching stinks for the Jets. It stinks.
If you want to say stinks, that's a harsh word.
Come on, you know it. They're terrible.
But the quarterback wants it that way.
No.
So you understand
that. He doesn't
want
an idiot head coach.
I'm not talking about the head coach. I'm talking about the offense in general, because that's the thing that everybody has the problem with, because it's Aaron Rodgers, and everybody wants him to be playing at his all-pro MVP best when he's coming off of an Achilles tear, and he's also learning new players, and he's only played five games with those players.
Yeah, I mean...
And I would say the creativity for the offense is what I'm talking about. You know, and I can only go by, you know, experience and things that I've been through myself. And when I was at my best, that's when the offense was most creative, no huddle, at the line of scrimmage, going fast, different formations, different groupings of personnel, motions, shifting, all of that kind of stuff, which you never see the Jets do.
The Phil Simms Spotlight is sponsored by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. All right, Eddie, if you could just lower the music just a little bit here.
Phil, you're gonna
hear a sound, and you have to tell me. You have to tell me what that sound is. All right, you ready?
Okay, ready? Hold on. Let me hear. Okay, go.
Ready?
Well, I know it's not a pair of dice. It's Balance of Nature. Then I know how you act. And just by the sound, which I've done this before, that is the fruit.
Yeah!
Right?
Look at that! Okay. He's dead right about it. Balance of Nature fruit. Good job there, Phil. He knows his product, man.
I've done this about 10 times where they shake them at me, and I got to tell you, they do make a different sound. So
wow. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh is right.
And then my TV, of course, it's unbelievable. My TV is not working, but I did have the sound today. Listen a little bit. First off, Gio, I got a big box of Balance of Nature yesterday, so quit moaning and crying in there that I haven't sent it to you yet.
Okay.
Send me your address, and I'll get it in the mail here no later than tomorrow, and you'll have it, and then we'll see how it goes.
All right.
Actually,
perfect.
Don't worry about it, because they sent me a big box, too, so I have, they actually sent me a separate box for Gio.
Okay, very good.
All right, so I have his. I'm going to bring it in tomorrow. I meant to bring it in today, but I forgot.
Okay, well, I got some other things to talk about real quick before we get started. I know there's a lot, and I'll be quick. Boomer.
Yes.
Did I hear right that you won your own golf tournament?
Yes.
Oh, you know, that is just not, that's not right.
Come on, hit one in the water.
Don't do anything. Don't win your own tournament.
No, listen to me. First of all, I pay for myself to play in the tournament, and I bring three guests that are, and I play a two-man best ball, and I've only come in third because the partner that I normally play with is busy on the Trump transition team. So I brought a former Islander, Cal Clutterbuck, to play with, who's a great golfer, and he deserves to win too. You know, like if he plays well, he deserves to be able to share in the winnings, and we both happen to play really well together.
Okay. All right.
I mean, so shut up and don't tell me what to do with my own golf tournament.
Hey, man, listen, I played in all those outings, too, when I was, and look, I was not going to stand up in front of the crowd and go, oh, I won. Oh, I'm a jerk. I mean, this is terrible.
Did I do that? You did not. No, but.
No, I'm just saying, I always told my partners, look, we're not going to win. I'm not going to go up there and then get some prize or whatever in front of everybody because we won this, and that's just me. But so, okay, Boomer, good
I just
you.
Wanted the Abeles trophy that has Gunnar etched on it. That's what I really wanted.
Okay.
So that's what
all
I
right,
got.
Well, there you go. Okay. That's a different thing. So I'll backtrack all everything I said, and you did the right thing.
Okay. All right, Phil. So yesterday Rob Sala gets fired. So let's hear your reaction to it.
My reaction, I was actually in the middle of an interview yesterday, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Rob Sala's got fired. I went, what? You know, the interviewer, I guess, saw it on TV, and we broke into it. To say, of course, I was surprised. I mean, were any of you, I didn't get to hear a lot, you had to be completely surprised by this move, or weren't you?
Well, I was. Boomer was not. I think maybe the timing was a little bit earlier, but Boomer really felt like there was a chance if things got bad, and I guess this is pretty bad.
Yeah, listen, I know their expectations are great, so their patience is not much. I do understand that. They've done all this to make this team into a championship team. They gave everything to the quarterback. They made many, give him whatever he needs or trying to make this work. So I guess they felt the urgency to do it. I would just say this. I don't know Robert Saleh's coaching style. I see it on TV. I've watched him in practice. He's a nice guy, you know, this, that. But what is he inside the meeting rooms with the team? What's he saying? I don't know. But I know this, when they hired Jeff Ulbrich, he's kind of the opposite of Robert Saleh. So they got a guy who might be yelling at players during the game and hold him more accountable. I don't know if he holds him accountable, Rob Saleh, in the meeting rooms. I don't know that. But I think Jeff Ulbrich will. And you've even heard players say we need to be held accountable. I just, I can't believe, Boomer, that your team, did you ever have a team you went, guys were going around, we need to be held accountable here. I mean, did you ever have that once in any part of your career?
I've said it. I've said it a number of times, but then again, I didn't stay with one organization like you did. I mean, I jumped around a little bit. I had different coaches that I didn't really respect, and this was one of the discussion points we were having over the last couple of weeks, whether or not there was the respect that is needed from the quarterback to the head coach. I don't know if that's the case or not, but here's the one pointed question I want to ask you, and I know when we used to meet on Sundays, after you watch all the tapes and you watch things and you watch the way offenses are played, you always love Ben Johnson, you love Bobby Slowick, you love Mike Shanahan, you love Sean McVay, all these offensive coordinators, Kevin O'Connell up in Minnesota, that you've mentioned time and time again on this show, how creative they are, how many open throws there are, how prepared they are on offense. So here's my very pointed question to you. Out of the 32 offensive coordinators in this league, where does Nathaniel Hackett fall on your list?
Well, I know that Nathaniel Hackett, I respect what he does. Of course, we know it's tough. His father was do everything for the players.
Hold on for a second. I know you grew up in a normal red-blooded.
Can I finish my damn answer?
I want a real ad. Just tell me where. 1 through 32.
It's really, what do you want me to say? What number? I don't know. It's down at the bottom for what they do. And we saw this when he was in Denver. But he gets the job here in New York because we all know that, because of Aaron Rodgers and what they want to do. So the offense, there's not even a question when you watch it, and we watch it this year. I'm just going to say it might be the worst offense I've watched all year long.
Okay, good. All right, so let me ask you this question now. All those other offensive coordinators and teams that I've been talking about have creativity. We see guys moving all over the place. We see a lot of different things. You know Aaron probably better than I do after covering him all these different years. I mean, I don't know if there was something going on between him and Matt LaFleur up in Green Bay because Matt wanted to do more things and Aaron said no and pushed back. Is it Aaron that wants to run the offense the way they're running it, where it's all back shoulder throws? Or
yes.
All right, so yes. there's no creativity, am I right?
Right, the less movement. Yeah, there's none. Listen, everybody's on to what they do. Everybody talks about the Jet offense, and they explain it perfectly. I mean, it doesn't matter what station I turn it on. Well, you know, they like to sit there, no movement, so Aaron can see it and then make the decision. Well, what do you think the defensive coordinators are saying every game they play? Here's what they do. We know this. Great example is this. They're playing Minnesota. Minnesota has all that stuff going on their side of the football, and it's all really good stuff, and it's exciting to watch. Van Ginkel's interception for the touchdown, that came strictly from one thing. We know what they're going to do. We're going to blitz. He's going to throw a slant pattern inside. He pulls out, intercepts it, goes for a touchdown. To me, that said it all. They knew. And, you know, you're the Jets. Now, everybody is blitzing you and having success. So what the hell do you think the teams coming up are going to do? Now they watch the films and go, man, the Jets, the free runners, they're not handling this. They don't really have many route combinations. There's no deception, no movement, very few play actions, which I could get into is another world also. But that's a big problem. So this is the offense that Aaron Rodgers wants. And it's not explosive. It's not created enough. Listen, there's four teams that actually move around less than the Jets. Three of those teams have one thing in common. They all have rookie quarterbacks. Mm. Okay, we understand that. So there's only one other team. I think it's the Cleveland Browns, if off the top of my head. But there you go, and then there's the Jets. So I don't care what you say, and you know, and Gio, everybody knows this about football. The more you move and shift on offense, what do you do to the defense? Mm-hmm. They're sitting over there going, check, do this. Oh, you're trying to confuse them just a little to do what? To slow them down, you know, to help your offense because you're making them think a lot.
Create indecision. And you're trying to create indecision on that side of the
doubts.
Ball.
No doubts. And it's they got to, you know, shift their front. You know, linebackers do this. Oh, drop into a different coverage. And then you know what? If you do that and they do that on defensive side, you got to sit there as a quarterback and go, we got them. Let me just say this. I don't know Robert Saleh, how he coached teams, but I know this. When my head coach walked into our room for a meeting, there was something to it. I just go, oh, wow, this is the head coach, and I'm going to keep my ass quiet and listen and do whatever because that's what they demanded. And we had that with Bill Parcells. But I'll never forget when Dan Reeves walked into our meeting room for the first time to meet the team. He walks in, puts his pad down on the lectern in front of him, and he says, everybody, sit up straight, put your feet on the floor, and take those damn hats off. And I swear to you, not exaggerating, I turned to Bart Oates quietly and went, we're going to win. And I drove home. My wife says to me in my front yard, she goes, well, how was it? I said, Diana, we're going to win. This is the man. He's going to change our football team, even though we were not projected to be anything good. But the fact that he really managed the team and held everybody accountable every day for everything worked great for us. So that's kind of what I've always expected and want from a head coach.
On behalf of Phil Simms and me, I think we both agree that the creativity is not there. Now, here's the other story that came out of this, and that was the fact that maybe Rob Saleh was thinking about taking the play calling away from Nathaniel Hackett and giving it to Todd Downing. And the other aspect of that would mean that maybe the head coach was right. Maybe the head coach looks like at his offense and goes, they're unprepared. They're too easy to defend against. I need somebody else to come in here and create an offense that is going to give us a chance to actually score points as opposed to kowtowing to a 40-year-old quarterback who's making mistakes.
Well, Robert Saleh was a defensive coordinator and successful and really good at it. So he's sitting there as a defensive coordinator still in his mind. He's looking at the Jet offense going, wow, I think I'd like to play against this or coach against this offense if I'm a D coordinator. So he had to look at it, and I can't believe he didn't, you know, and we got to blame him too. You could have made some changes, and, you know, you are the head coach. You get to determine. You can tell the coordinator, look, this is what we need to do more of, or we got to change this to help our football team. I mean, listen, you go back to that game in Minnesota when they played Minnesota over in London. The game is there to be had big time. The defense of the Jets was all over Minnesota. Once they got the hang of it, they had it. And Gio, Kevin O'Connell, okay, you're playing the Jets. They got a good defense. Pull it back a little. You got a nice size lead, 2 scores. Why don't we just use the clock a little and play a different game? But no, we're the high-flying Minnesota Vikings, and he keeps going. And I tell you, they were fortunate to win the game because of the way they managed it and the way they keep trying to go against, by far, the strength of the New York Jets, which is their defense. So the offense has got to play more into the hands of the defense. And, you know, and I did see them do this a couple times. The Jets ran a couple play actions, and I went, oh, my God, that looks great. It's really, you know, and I know. And, gee, I was just telling everybody this. When you're a quarterback, there's nothing like taking the ball, turning, making the fake to the running back. Boomer was, of course, excellent at making that fake and then coming back up. And the rhythm of the drop, the play action fake, and you know what it's going to do to the defense, and you just feel so confident, it works. And, man, the Jets, I don't know how many play action passes they run as a number, but I know this, it's very few. And once they do it, I just don't understand why they don't go, that looked pretty good. Let's do some more of that. And maybe they'll do that now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that leads me into the next question. If this is the offense and Aaron Rodgers wants to run, this is the offense that he ran with Nathaniel Hackett when he won 2 MVPs, how much is he going to be willing to change things enough to be able to have a more 2024 offense? I mean, it seems to me that the man is very, very stubborn, and he's just going to be like, well, we just need to play better. It's not the scheme. It's just we need to play better, block better, all of that stuff. Do you really think they're going to change that much schematically with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback?
No, they're not going to change a great deal, but man, come on, he's a smart guy. We know that. You got to look at what's going on and going, it could be better to try to manage the game. And I gave him a lot of credit. A couple weeks ago, I'm in here going, hey, this looks pretty good. But you can't micromanage an offense in the NFL. You got to let it go. If you want to be great, you can't be timid, right? So you got to take chances. You got to change what you do. And like I said, you got to make the other side think. And when you don't, when you just give them free rein where they're just going to blitz and have free guys running at your quarterback and he doesn't even see some of them, he's getting hit in the back, which, you know, that's another thing. If you got control of the offense, how can you let free runners come and hit you? And he's got crushed in the back 2 times in the last couple of weeks, and they could have been hits that ended his year. So he was fortunate to come out of those, and they're going to change some, but everybody can't wait to see it. You know, this, what is it, Monday night?
Monday night at home against Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see that. And look, what do you think Buffalo's going to do? They're going to blitz. I'm watching them play Houston, and they're going after C.J. Stroud, and C.J. Stroud is, man, of course, it worked out for him, but they had him on the ropes at time, too. So, hey, it's really interesting, but I understand the fact that the desperation, everything about what they've done, they want this to work, and so they made the move. Was it early for me? Yes. But, final say.
Hey, to me, I think they could have won the last 2 games. They didn't win. They're playing for first place in the AFC East. It's a huge game Monday. Right. You got an extra day to prepare. You know, you clean out Rob's office and you move on. Now, let's just go to another pressure point that I thought last week was going to determine, you know, obviously the criticism that was going to be coming their way, and that was, of course, Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones, and they didn't have Malik Nabers, and they go out to Seattle, and they play a whale of a football game. They come up with a huge special teams play at the end of the game, coaching, preparedness, right. All of that stuff was great. It was on, you know, it was on display right there for the Giants, the way that they executed that play. So, you know, this was a week now where I think you could take a big, deep breath if you are a Giants fan and you're playing against a team who, oddly enough's quarterback is completing 70% of his passes, throwing 12 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions, and they're 1-4, the Bengals, on Sunday night at MetLife. Your take on the Giants, what they looked like last week, and what do they got to deal with this week?
Okay, well, the Giant offense, I've noticed this, that I've talked about it in my podcast, which I know you don't listen, but that's okay. But Brian Daboll, when you watch what he has done game by game, it keeps getting better. It keeps getting more, camouflage to it. It's making it harder for defenses. What's coming next?
Creative.
And, you know, he's
creative.
It's very creative. Yeah, I was looking for a better word than that. But so that's a big thing. And the other, there's many things. And I think he's done a great job of getting Daniel Jones into the game. Easy throws to start out. That's one thing. And what's the other thing he seems to be doing every week? He's going to run Daniel Jones early, have a running play set up just for him, and he runs it in there, gets hit, and this is true. You know it as a quarterback, and I do. There's nothing like having a play that has a little success. You take a hit, and you a positive play, and you go, I'm ready, man. I'm into the game now.
Well, that's what he did with Josh Allen up in Buffalo. Josh Allen,
absolutely.
And Brian Daboll told me and Gio straight up. He goes, "Yeah, Josh Allen used to say, call a run. I need to get hit. I need to get hit." So
there you go.
Maybe that's something. They also found something with this Tyrone Tracy at running back.
Well, I saw him at training camp. I was down there quite a few days, and I watched him. And I went, "Okay, I don't know. I'm a kind of negative Nancy there sometimes. I'm watching, but when he gets on the field, what I've noticed about him." Of course, he's a big dude. I love that fact. You know, I think every team needs that big power runner. But he was faster and more elusive than I expected. I mean, he looked fast on TV to me. I don't know how it looked to you guys. But also, they got the tight end involved, Theo Johnson. And that's going to open it up because they do like to run a lot of play action passes. And to me, play action passes help the tight end as much as anybody. So, and all the rookies. How about two things? The offensive line, every snap this year together, that's one thing. And then all the rookies they drafted are kind of coming through. I mean, every one. And so that's got to make them feel great. And I think on the other side, wow, just for this, the Giant defense, you're going up against a guy. Boomer, I watched Joe Burrow a lot this year, just about every play. He's kind of the guy that sits up there and plays golf, and he swings at it, and it's so smooth and so easy. And you go, well, that probably – it went 350? Holy – I mean, he's that guy. And just dead-eye accurate, has power in the throws, moves, just manages everything. This is going to be a really tough assignment for the New York Giants. And Ja'Marr Chase, to me, there's no argument. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL. And I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I've been watching this year, and every year I've watched him. I mean, he has everything. Size, speed, he's a slick route runner, he's aggressive. He's everything a quarterback would love.
Phil, we're going to be doing this game together, me, you, Boomer, and Jerry, on the 20th. I'll be down on the sideline, so just throw to me once at the beginning of the game, and I'll just stand there the rest of the game. I think that'll be perfect for that.
So. No. You know, we got to bring you in because, listen, I'm being serious. I do like your take on things. In other words, you see it differently than Boomer and I will, for sure. And so, it'd be good. Maybe we'll agree with you some, but if you say something we don't agree with, well,
rip
you might hear a few things from both of us.
Oh, yeah. Man, if you say something stupid, we're just going to rip your ass.
Rip me! It'd be great. That'll be up for Compass.
Exactly.
All right, Phil, it's great talking to you, man. We will talk to you next week, and all the best.
All right, last, I got to get one more word in.
Yeah.
The Jets, the emotion, the stadium, you're playing the Bills, they're in disarray, it's almost real. I mean, the offense was awful. Josh Allen had the worst game of his career. It's real. It's not just stats. He threw it terrible, made some bad decisions. It was a terrible game for the Buffalo offense. So this will be really interesting, and it's probably a good situation for the Jets.
Yeah, plus
so
he got beat up pretty good real quickly.
Yeah.
Davante Adams is going to be a
Raider.
Raider. You think he stays with the Raiders? I don't see it, yeah, but we'll see.
He's got a hamstring. We're going to trade for him, give up draft picks. I mean, I don't know. I think
yeah,
I thought
really,
that was sure to
really
the Jets.
Does he have a hamstring, or is he making a business decision, as
I don't know.
Antonio Pierce alluded to?
I'm not as sure as everybody else that he's coming to the Jets. I just don't know. The Jets, the receiving core is fine. It's not their fault. Okay, I'll just say that.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
You too. The Sims Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature, whole food supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.